power and the working of God in our lives. It's amazing. This morning we are turning, please, to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. The book of Exodus tells of how God brought his people out of Egypt. We see here, when we come to chapter 14, a crisis. There's a real crisis of faith taking place. I wonder this morning, are you at that place of crisis in your life where you need the Lord to teach you and to work within you to do something special for you? I think we all come to that place at each stage of our Christian life, and each time we can discover the power and blessing of God. So when we come to chapter 14, the situation is this. Pharaoh said that he would let them go, the people of Israel. He would let the people of faith go, that they might return to their homeland. But then he changes his mind. He makes a very foolish and rash decision to pursue them. And God leads them to the Red Sea. And there they are, 2 million people in camp at the sea, waiting for God's direction as to what their next step would be. Behind them is Pharaoh. Between Pharaoh and his army, his 600 strong army of chariots, between him and the people of Israel, there's the angel of the Lord. And there is a cloud of God's Shekinah glory standing between them and the Egyptians. And they're at a crisis point. What would they do? Pharaoh's got them here. They've traveled through a valley. They have now come and camped by the sea, the Red Sea. And there they are in that situation. They can't go either to the right hand or to the left. What are they going to do? Well, we'll find out as we look at the message this morning. Notice then, please, in chapter 14 and verse number 15, we see the people in verses 13 and 14 are very stressed out over this whole situation. And Moses speaks to them in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. For he will show you today, for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Speak unto the children of Israel," verse 15, "that they go forward." The challenge comes to our lives to move forward. Now, all of us can identify situations in our lives. Even you may be at this moment in a current crisis. I don't know what it might be, but the Lord knows. He knows your crisis. He knows your situation. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. He's interested in you and what's happening in your life. And most of all, he wants you to go forward. He wants you to move forward. As a church, he wants us to move forward. In our college ministry, we need to continue to move forward. In your workaday world, you need to move forward. There are new things for you to discover. New things about God's working. New things about God's power. New things about his miracle power. And I knew that you'd think that I'd be saying something about the miracles of God. And here we are looking at one of the great miracles of the Bible. One of the great miracles. Now, we are those that believe in God's Word. And certainly the book of Genesis is accurate as it gives us the history of creation through to those men of faith. And it traces the history of the men of faith and of the people of faith. And their walk with God, their march with God. As a nation, we can learn so much from them. As individuals, we can learn so much. As a church, we can learn so much from them and their situation. Well, we know that they were in their land, the land that Abraham was promised, and they were the people of faith in that land. But they doubted God. There was a famine came to the land. And they decided to pack up and go down to Egypt. A bad decision. But nevertheless, a decision that God was aware of. And nevertheless, at the same time, God did not forsake his ancient people. He was with them 430 years in Egypt. Slaves they were in Egypt. They were the working, less than the working class. They helped Mr. Pharaoh build his great nation. No doubt they had a part in some of those amazing pyramids and all those amazing buildings that were being built. They were built by the blood and the sweat and the tears and agony of the people of God that were in bondage in Israel, in Egypt. Israel in Egypt, the picture of bondage. Friends, the world is like Egypt, is pictured as Egypt. It offers all sorts of wonderful things. When the famine was in the land and things were hard and tough and there wasn't much happening and there wasn't much financial blessing, Egypt was glittering and glimmering with amazing things as the dictator Pharaoh built amazing things, and it looks good for us today. Looks good. There are people that love Egyptology. Back when I was doing a bit of secular education and so on, they were absolutely over the moon about Egyptology. They like that far more than they like the Bible. Someone said, "Are you sure you don't want to study Egyptology?" I said, "It's a dead history and it leads nowhere. The daddies become mummies." And so it ends up such a sad story and such now it's a tourist destination for a lot of people. It's in disarray. And people are fascinated. They could only find their mummy down there, you know. And they're still researching and searching, and they found a whole number of different things under the sand dunes. More amazing buildings and all. I think 20 sites the American team has just found using modern equipment, another 20 sites that they plan to dig. And they'll be finding some of Israel's slavery down there. It was the world, yes, and it was full of glitz and glamour, but indeed they were in bondage. Be careful, Christian. Young Christian, the world offers you all sorts of glitter and glamour out there. All sorts of amazing things if you just enter into that bondage. It's a terrible bondage out there in the world. And how sad it is for a believer to be in the world. And yet, this is their situation. God then led them out through miracles. He led them through. From that, he led them to the Dead Sea. The Red Sea, sorry. Now, he led them to a crisis situation. Are you surprised by the crisis that come in your life? You shouldn't be. Because, friends, as much as we don't like it, brothers and sisters, it's necessary. And that's how God works with us. He changes us from one degree of glory to another. He takes us to our points of crisis, and there he wants to meet with us and take us to another level and lead us on to see great things about his power. Well, we see then that they're at this point of crisis, and Moses, the man of God, is seeking to settle them and calm them down. They're saying in verse number 11, "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away in verse 11 to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" Oh, this was a very severe cry, wasn't it? Does God's leading really work? Does God's plan really work? Is God's plan and for the Christian life, is it feasible in this world? In this crazy, wicked world? Can you really live the Christian life? Can we really see God do anything today? Oh yes, he's still the same God. His working is the working within. You see, the miracles that God wants to do are internal miracles in our lives, mostly. Every now and again in history, such as this time, in the deliverance of God's children from annihilation and from just being wiped off the planet of the earth, he works with them to deliver them, to take them out of Egypt, because he has a plan for them further down the line. And through them, the Savior of the world is to come. So therefore, God does some miracles for them in delivering them. And if you want to know all about those miracles, then Rab Herbert Lockyer's book on the miracles, all the miracles of the Bible. That's an amazing book. You ought to get hold of it. Pastor's got plenty of them for $15 each. You didn't even pay me for that ad, right? Till afterwards, Samuel. Or you could join the miracles class at Bible College. You could do something absolutely and totally outrageous. Join an evening class at Bible College. Start learning something. You say, "I'm a bit old." Well, I'm still learning. Amen. I've got, you know. It's really been, this miracles course has been a real shake-up for me and a real blessing from the Lord. And I've had a great time with it. I got to teach it in the U.S. for 3 weeks and meet up with all kinds of people over there and see some wonderful things which God is doing in the lives of his people. It's been amazing. But for this morning, we are looking at an amazing miracle here. We are seeing a situation then with Moses in need, the people in need, a people in crisis. I say to you that at this moment in world history, God's people are in crisis, especially in our English-speaking Western world. We're in a point of crisis. What do we do in the crisis? Throw our hands up and say to God, "Shock, horror, Lord, why did you make this happen to me? As a Christian, am I going to die like this? They'll kill me, you know. It's not working." Oh, what we need to do is to see that we have a great and powerful God. The God of Moses is our God. We have the same faith that Moses had. In Hebrews 11, we talk about that there. And here we see then that they're in a crisis situation. Now, people are crying out. They think that they're going to die right there and then. Pharaoh's going to overthrow them. Hey, God had already delivered them in so many amazing ways to get them to this point. He'd done some amazing things. They even gave 3 days of darkness over the land. I mean, absolute, total, complete. And utter darkness is a fearful thing, but he gave them that. Then he did something else amazing. All of the firstborn boys of Egypt died in a terrible situation, a national calamity, because of bad leadership and the unwillingness of Pharaoh to get with God's plan. And those people died. And so finally, he said, "All right, you can go. then he changed his mind. So this is a situation that is very, very dangerous situation. A very difficult situation. The degree of difficulty of this crisis is going to be on 100% measure. Think your crisis is pretty bad? Is it up on the 100%? Probably somewhere lower. And God would say to you, go forward. He would say to you today, behold the salvation of the Lord. See what God can do. He's an amazing God. Well, there they are in a crisis situation. Moses tells them not to be afraid, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But then Moses has his own personal crisis as well. Moses' personal crisis here. Notice what it is here, and the Lord talks to him about this. The Lord said unto Moses in verse 15, wherefore criest thou unto me? God's confrontational counseling to Moses. Moses, why are you crying out about this? Moses, why are you in this condition? Why are you? I see Moses' emotional state here. He's upset. I see Moses' spiritual condition here. He's wondering what the future holds. I see him down and groveling before the Lord. Lord, help! Lord, please! Lord, what are you going to do? Moses was just a man, so we can identify with him, amen? You know what this is about. You've been there. How often have you been there? And some crisis has happened, death of a loved one, a financial reversal, whatever, in a number of different situations, you've been there. And what would God say? Go forward. We have a very unusual nation here of Australia, placed in a unique part of the world with so many blessings. And at the moment, we are enjoying a lot of blessings, but we need a lot of wisdom as well. Our country and our national anthem is Advance, Australia Fair. God calls us to advance. And I think that ought to mark our prayers. Please pray that our country would advance, that it would not make foolish decisions and end up in the debts and the bondage of the rest of the world many countries are in because of their excess. Oh, we need wisdom from God. No, and we can learn that our coat of arms is also very unusual. Our Capitol building down there in Canberra, most of you have seen it down there. How many of you haven't been down there to see it? Well, don't put up your hand, but anyway. It's an interesting journey through there. And did that a couple of years ago now. And got this little booklet. Our coat of arms is, our flag is up here, and our coat of arms is right there. There's two interesting creatures on our coat of arms. What are those interesting creatures? Kangaroo and emu. Now there's some unusual features about those animals in the world, aren't there? But there's something that we can learn from in God's creation of these creatures and their choice in our coat of arms. What is it about those two creatures? They don't have a reverse gear. They can only go forward. They're made to go forward. You don't want to get in the way of a kangaroo when it's decided to go forward. You've heard of the fight with the boxing kangaroo, haven't you? When he decides to go forward and you're in his way, you scratch your eyes out. I'm not saying the Lord would have us to do that kind of thing, because we've got a biblical plan and pattern. Love your enemies and you'll scare them to death. But those couple of amazing animals, they have a forward gear. And they are moving forward. Advance, Australia Fair. Advance, believer. Say, but it's a crisis. How am I going to go? What am I going to do? Go forward. Don't consider going backwards. Don't consider dropping out of the race. Don't consider leaving the faith. Don't think of going back to Egypt. Don't consider those as options. They are not options. If you've got a problem and a crisis now, do any of those things. And you think you've got trouble, you'll know what it's all about if you do those things and make those mistakes of judgment and foolish decisions that way. Decide to go forward with the Lord. Step up your trust and your faith and move forward. God's word to Moses when he was in this situation of grovelling before God over the situation, he was told to go forward, to tell the people to go forward, the leadership must go forward, the people must go forward, and together we can march forward in the Lord to discover more of the miracle working and power of our great God. How amazing this was. You know, the Lord did not lead them into this crisis without purpose and reason. The problem that you have got, whether it be one of your own making through decisions that you have made, or whether it be something that's overtaken you, our sovereign God knows about it. He knows the details of where you're at. He doesn't just say, oh, well, they got into this kind of mess, let them get out by themselves. Their mess, they made it, they can clean up after themselves. Oh, God intervenes for the sake of his people when they're in a place of crisis. He still loves them, he still cares, and he still wants to be there in the midst of it, that we can discover the greatness of his power. You see, in this case, God was going to show them more about his greatness. They'd already seen the Lord do some miracles, and there are reasons for the miracles that God does. And there are some amazing things that we can learn right here. But here we see them in this situation. They're in crisis. They are to move forward. God directs Moses what he's to do. He's to take what God has given him. Got a rod in his hand, a miracle rod, a rod that buds, a rod that has been transformed, an ordinary stick of wood, as it were, that God transformed and touched to show his miracle working power. And you can look that up. The danger of this sermon is there's so many things that could be said. But let's stay with the main point here. God had given Moses this rod. He had given him a hand. He had given him gifts and abilities, and he expected him to use them. What about you? Spiritual gifts, Mum. Gifts and abilities that you have, are you using them? If you're not, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. If you're not going forwards, you'll be going backwards. So step out by faith. He's a miracle-working God. Commit that to him. Commit your way to him. Yield to him your ability. What is in your hand, give it to him. Yield it to him. And then do what he tells you to do with it. And God says to him, stretch thine hand over the sea and divide it. Moses, no doubt, moved to a prominent place. He stood there. He stretched out his hand with that rod, and a miracle of God took place. God intervened. A special divine intervention took place. A special divine action took place. An SDA. This is the good SDA, amen? You know, the Seventh-day Adventurers, you know about them. But this is the special divine intervention of God in the crisis. A crisis is a great place to be, because it gives God an opportunity to intervene. It gives God a situation where there's got to be some changes. There's got to be some steps forward. There's got to be the moving in a new direction. There's got to be a stepping out into a situation in which we have never been in before. We've never been this way before, but God knows the way that he taketh. He has a plan for your life, and as you step out in that plan, say, yes, but what about this disaster? Well, there's one right here, a crisis. It's an opportunity for God to intervene and make a difference
as we look to Him for what He would have done and how He would have it done. And so He lifts up His hand, and the sea divides, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground. This is the promise of God to Moses. Moses, go down there, tell them to go forward, stand there, lift up your hand, hold the rod forward, and I'll take you across on dry ground. Look at verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. God divided these waters. A strong wind. Now God, when He's working miraculously, He uses things, no doubt, that He's already placed there. He used the wind in this case. We know something of the power of the wind and the power of water, tsunamis and different things that have happened recently. We know how that water is an amazing thing. And many of God's miracles, you know, have got to do with water. It's an interesting thing. I wonder why that is, because we all know about water. Amen? It does come out of the taps, but there's more to it than that, amen? You see large bodies of it. It's amazing, and it's very powerful. But God can punch a hole through that water, as it were. God can make an aisle through that, a way through. Got any rivers that you think are uncrossable? God can help you to bridge them. Got any mountains that you can't get through? Save it a tunnel underneath if need be. Or the creativeness of God. You consider the creative abilities of God. It's given rise to our modern society. So many of the technologies that we enjoy and things because of the creativeness of God. Because He's brought something into being that wasn't there previous. Because He's intervened and brought a situation into being that wasn't there previous. That's the miracle of creation. That's the miracle of His intervention. And that's His miracle working in your life. The greatest thing that we can learn from this miracle and all the miracles is how God works. In particular, how He works in people's lives. In the lives of you and I. So it was that the water stood up, a wall of water standing. A wall, imagine that, either side. The wind there driving hard, and God's power moving to hold that water back for the sake of His people so that they could go over. That wind stood up, that wind blew all night. The sea stood up all night, the dry lands were available for the people of God to go through. God will make a way for you. God will make a way through, and you can be on that way now. Get on that way. That way of God. That way of faith and obedience. It says, and Moses stretched his hand over the sea. Aren't you glad Moses was obedient to the word of God? That is indeed one of the things that needs to happen. If God's going to do further miracles for us, we need to believe His word and do what His word says. And then we need to step out and by faith. We need to believe the word of God, the word of prophecy, the word of faith, and then to step out and do what God says. But trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Very basic, isn't it? But it's so foundational. And more than that, let me tell you, it works. God is able. But we must trust Him. We must not hold back. We must not say no. Never say no. Never say, I can't do it. Never say, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. What is it that you are facing in your situation, in your life, in your education, in your business world, in your job, in your whatever? God is able. Trust Him with it. It's going to be hard for a while. It's going to be difficult for a while, no doubt. Especially if there's principles of God that have been overlooked. Unwisely overlooked. Unwittingly sometimes overlooked. There's a resetting of the situation. God moves. And now then He took them through.
And what an amazing thing it was for them to see this miracle of God. God's miracles then. God is a miracle working God. This really did take place. It was, and it did happen to the people of faith. Have you seen a miracle of God in your life? The miracle of salvation. It's one of the greatest miracles of modern times. And that's something that I keep reminding us all of. The greatest miracle, the greater miracle than this is when God divided your heart, as it were, and broke your heart and brought you to a crisis where you saw your sin and need and you called upon the Lord to come in and to save you and deliver you, and you entered into the wonderful experience of salvation. If you didn't, do something about it today. We'd love to help you with that. We're all sinners and only Jesus Christ can save. He's a Savior of men, of women, of needy people, of people that are at the point of crisis. The bottom of the barrel. Where I was in the US, I met many of those folks that they talk about through the reformers program that Dr. Kingsbury, God's given them in their church, and he's in over 800 independent Baptist churches across America, where they're seeing drug addicts delivered. But the testimony of most of those people is that they had to come to the end of the line, the bottom of the barrel. And in hospital, totally wiped out and near death. And then the turning and crying out to the Lord. And then the deliverance of God followed through in walking with the Lord. Learning that they cannot do it themselves. You know, one of our big problems is us. Father was telling us in class this morning that his boss at work says that his next job is not going to involve people. And I said, excuse me, brother, he'll have one problem. Number one self, amen. We're our biggest problem many times. Because we think either we make mistakes and we sin, or else we think we can handle it. It's a big mistake. You need to die to self and realize that in God's power, the miraculous is possible in our own lives. Miracles show us God's people, God's power. Miracles show us His greatness, His omnipotence. And they show us that He is a God that is interested in His children. And the miracles take place because He loves us, because He cares about us, because He can intervene in the situations that surround our lives. And we need to yield to our Lord and His power and to follow Him and do it His way. What an amazing miracle this was. Now, some of us get in a rut here in our lives. We get in a crisis situation, and that's where we stay. I was talking to a worker that worked with disabled people, and we were talking in relation to a friend of ours that had a terrible disability but was able to get on top of that. I was talking to him, and he said, you know, this is unusual. Because people that have that problem that he's got, the problems he got, a lot of time they just become depressed and just become couch potatoes and do nothing. So this man decided that he wasn't going to stay at that point. He was going to go forward, even with that disability. There's a book I've seen in the Curon catalogue, and I don't normally recommend. But there's a man there that was born with no arms and no legs. And he's on top with the Lord. And his testimony is very vibrant for Christ. What can that man do? A lot. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Because that man has met the Lord in his crisis. And he's changed his life. You can either get bitter or better. You can either continue in the same mode and never get anywhere. You can continue with the same bitterness, with the same unforgiveness, with the same problems, or else you can take it to the Lord. You can put it at His feet. you can claim His cleansing and His forgiveness. You know, a lot of the problems and crises we've had in the past, there's no point going back there. You can't go back and relive what happened in the past. You can't change anything about. At best, we can repent of our wrong in the matter. At best, we can ask forgiveness. At best, we can forgive others. Forgive those that despitefully use you. Love your enemies. We can do that. We can't go back and redo. And it's no good living in those past things. What did the Apostle Paul say? He had the move forward mentality. Praise God. Forgetting those things that are behind. I press on. Oh, let's go forward. Let's go forward. Please, let us go forward. Let us see great things from God's hand. Let us not live in the past. Let us not go back. Let us go forward. Let us unite together in God's grace, looking unto the Lord Jesus and moving forward. Because there's a lot of people out there that need to see the glory of God. The people of God, when they saw this miracle happen of salvation and deliverance, the people of God were excited about this, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. And we go on there to see that they began to praise God and rejoice together over what God had done. Let us get the Lord central in our lives and say, well, I've heard it. You that may be pulling back at the moment and looking very snugly at me. I'm not impressed by that facade. I like to see reality. And brothers and sisters, it is time for us to see God moving, to see His working in our crisis, in our situation. And we must go to the Lord with that. We must listen to God's direction. We must really be willing to step out in faith in God's will. But He's a great God. He's a miracle-working God. And as we do that, we're going to see God move and change things in a wonderful way as we move forward. What is your crisis today? Face it. Own up to it. If you have sin, bring it to the Lord. Claim His cleansing. You don't know which direction you should go? Commit it all to Him and say, Lord, lead me. I need to know what to do next. Allow Him to lead you and guide you into the unknown, that you might discover that He is a God who knows what He's doing. He knows the way that He taketh. All things work together for good for them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. Oh yes, I've been in these crisis situations. I know the pain. But I've met the Lord there. Meet Him in the valleys. Meet Him at that point. And allow Him to direct you and redirect you and change you and the situation and lead you forward. He's a miracle-working God. Moses, God, is your God. Moses believed God. Forsook Egypt. Saw the power of God. Do you need to trust God for something today? Something you need to step out on, move forward? Let's stand in prayer. Let's stand together for prayer. And I'll pray and then Pastor will just come.